Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan as we get started on hour number three of our 4.5 with you today and each day on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. Our Beltway Blitz coming up in mere moments. If you are new to the show, we pick three teams you care a lot about, and in one segment we cover ground with people who cover those teams to get you all the insight you need on those clubs. Danny, what is on the slate for you for dinner this evening before we get to the Blitz?
You know, I have no idea. I'll never know until I sit down.
Do you go upstairs right at the end of the show at 6:30 from your laundry room and immediately sit down and dinner is prepared, or do you have to cook it? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, again, we're not in a rhythm just yet. We'll still kind of figure it out. But the kids need to eat earlier. The kids are pretty much winding down dinner by the time I disconnect the old Comrex machine and I sprint upstairs because I'm ravenously hungry. I'm ready to eat every day around 3:45 and starve myself until actual dinner time comes around. But I have no idea. I can't imagine how anyone would know what's for dinner before dinner.
There's not a lot of guarantees about this radio show, but one.
This is one.
Is that any time I ask Danny what he's going to eat for dinner, and it could be 5 minutes away, or if I ask Danny what he's going to do that night, he will say he doesn't know, and it will make for riveting,
it's riveting
radio. Riveting, as one of our friends used to say all the time. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We'll start you off on the ice. Jay Regan, NBCSportsWashington.com, joining us to discuss the hockey club that gets started tomorrow. JJ, give us a little primer here. The Peter Laviolette era getting ready to begin. What do we need to know about this roster and how some of the changes will look come tomorrow night?
Well, as you mentioned, Peter Laviolette is behind the bench. He is a coach who gets a lot of discipline, and he's a guy who makes his players accountable, which is something that's been missing from this team the last few years. Caps have really upgraded their roster in a lot of ways. They added Connor Sheary, and they bring up Daniel Sprong, who's a prospect, to give them some depth scoring, which was an issue last year. They added to their defense with Justin Schultz and Zdeno Chara and Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and the defense was atrocious last year, so that should definitely be an upgrade. And then one of the biggest storylines of the season, Ilya Samsonov is going to be their starter in net. 23-year-old takes over. It's going to be Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek to start the season as the goalie tandem. They have a combined 26 games of NHL experience, and Ilya Samsonov has all 26 of those games. So, you know, he's the guy of the future. He's a guy the team is very excited about, but there's no real safety net behind him. So that's definitely something to watch this season.
John Bones, Jones, Reagan. I care about the D pairings a lot. I feel like they're better, and my voice is going up a lot. I think it's better, but it's a dubious honor because last year was so terrible. Walk me through this. Is it just better and that's cute, or is it actually good enough?
Well, the biggest issue last year was that they had nobody on the right to play behind John Carlson. It was an issue all year. They tried Dick Jensen. They tried Ratko Gudas. Now they have Justin Schultz. He's a bona fide top four right defenseman, so that does help. And it moves Nick Jensen down to the third pair. And when Nick Jensen has played well with the Capitals, it's really been in a third pair role. So that definitely helps. I think you're right in one sense in that I don't really trust a Dmitry Orlov-John Carlson pairing. We've seen it before, and they didn't really play all that well together. And they didn't really play all that well together last year either. I know people will look at it and say, what are you talking about? Their Corsi is up. All their possession metrics are up. But all they were playing 70% in the offensive zone. So they're only being used specifically in offensive situations, and they still gave up more goals than they scored. So even when they are being set up for success and being used in just offensive situations, they still gave up more goals than they ended up scoring. So I'm wary of that pairing, but you know, coaches aren't as static as we like to think they are. These pairings aren't as cemented as we like to think they are. I think they're going to do a lot of shuffling in the game, like in specific situations that Daniel Chara will probably take over in more defensive situations when it calls for it.
JJ, I was talking earlier with Danny about this new East Division, and it is a juggernaut, my friend. I mean, who are the doormats, if there are any, and then where do the Caps fit in as a pecking order? Give me a power ranking, if you will, going in.
Right, so the East is brutal, and one thing to remember is that there's no wild card. So you can't just sit here and say, well, yeah, we're going to take some of the other division's playoff spots. No, it's the top four in this division, which means there are going to be playoff-caliber teams that miss the playoffs. New Jersey, I think, is pretty universal as the worst team in the division. They're not going anywhere. In a normal year, you would talk about whether or not the New York Rangers and Buffalo Sabres could take the next step and compete to make the playoffs. In this division, I think that's out the window. The Capitals, best-case scenario, they could win the division again. Everything comes together for them. They have the talent. Peter Laviolette should be an upgraded coach, and they upgrade in all their weaknesses. Worst-case scenario, they could miss the playoffs because it's that competitive a division. I ultimately think that the last playoff spot is going to come down to a team like Boston or Pittsburgh. I think while everyone thinks the Caps have crested that hill, I think that has more to do with coaching than it does the team actually getting over the hill. I think Pittsburgh is there, though. I think they're going to struggle to make the playoffs. And I think Boston's going to struggle to make the playoffs, too. Everyone's high on them, but their defense
really?
Is in shambles.
You think the Bruins are going to struggle
yeah.
that much?
Their left side of their defense is in shambles because they got rid of Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara. And David Pastrnak's not going to be on to start the season. He's injured. So in a shortened season, when you have a bad start, at which they legitimately can, they could be on the outside looking in for much of the season. I think it's going to be a race for Boston and Pittsburgh to earn that last spot in the playoffs.
Jerry Jeff Walker Reagan, does Peter Laviolette have the secret passcode to make Kuznetsov give a damn every night?
That is going to be one of the key questions of the season. Look, clearly Kuznetsov is his own guy. He likes to do things at his own pace. And the thing about it is that didn't work with Todd Reirden, the player's coach. But the guy who was able to get the most out of Kuznetsov, the guy who made him that superstar player in the playoffs, was Barry Trotz. Peter Laviolette is much closer to Barry Trotz than he is to Todd Reirden. So there is hope that this guy who holds his players accountable, who disciplines his players, will be able to get out of that, get that Kuznetsov back. And if they are able to get superstar Kuznetsov back, then this is a much better team. If they don't have that, then suddenly their center depth is a little questionable because Nicholas Backstrom isn't getting any younger either. So you'd like to think so because he is in the mold of the Barry Trotz, who was able to turn Kuznetsov into a superstar. But I think a lot of this is going to depend on Evgeny Kuznetsov. He has told us he doesn't want to work hard every day of the season. He's told us that. Okay, well, now it's a shortened season. Maybe he'll be able to string it together for a 56-game season instead.
Still one of the most amazing comments that a player has ever made ever was when he actually said, like, someone's like, yeah, you could win the MVP award. He's like, yeah, but those guys work every day. I don't know if I want to be that
trying.
Guy. Thank you, JJ. Appreciate you, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
I mean, he actually said that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. It was so amazing. All right, let's talk some basketball. The Wiz are 13th in the Eastern Conference. That is not ideal. Neither is the fact that they can't play a game tonight. They were scheduled to play. They will not play. There is no game because of COVID. Chris Miles joins us of NBCSW and NBA TV. All right, so Chris, fill us in. No game tonight. What gives, my friend? Just how bad a COVID situation are they dealing with?
Well, it looks like across the league, the NBA is trying to catch up to this early season and figure out what they are doing when it comes to COVID protocols. I mean, they had it all figured out in the bubble, and now they're like, okay, so we had to postpone this Miami and Boston game. Oh, the Wizards played those two teams, but yet they let the Wizards play against the Phoenix Suns. So the last report, I guess, is saying that, you know, there are two players that tested positive from the Wizards, and at this point, who knows when they're going to get back on the court. They're one of three games that have been postponed tonight.
They're not getting enough out of their front court on a nightly basis. And sometimes you'll see, before Bryant's injury, Chris, you'll see a nice stat total, like a 17-10, and he'll knock down a couple shots and get some buckets in transition. But that 3-4-5 spots, to me, whether it's offense, defense, it feels like a mismatch against them sometimes until you get Davis Bertans knocking down buckets. Is it just a product of those two guards being so good, or do you think I'm crazy?
No, I mean, one, I think you're spot on. Two, it's just plain and simply a lack of talent at those positions. And when I say that, I think Thomas Bryant can be an incredible NBA player, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think he's a power forward. He's 6'10", and when you look at the two losses to Philly, that's really the ones where you go, okay, Philly right now, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, and they beat the Wizards twice by just going into the fourth quarter and late in the game and say, hey, Joel Embiid, it's your time. And that was the difference in those games. I mean, Bradley Beal had, 60 points in one of those games, and it wasn't enough because it, quite simply, at the end of games, teams are just going, we're going to go inside, we're going to work inside. And if it's not the big man, it's even the guards. We saw Markel Fultz before his injury against the Wizards in the fourth quarter just say, you know what, I'm a big guard, and there's no one in the paint to stop me. I think the interesting thing is to see Robin Lopez in there in the win against the Suns. I mean, he had 11-8 early. He played really good defense on DeAndre Ayton, and Ayton didn't put up big numbers. It's something to monitor and keep an eye on.
Shams Charania of The Athletic just broke this, and it's cool that I'll get to break it now to Chris Miles, who cares more about and knows more about basketball than me. It looks like the Rockets are trading James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. This is a verified account. This is Shams Charania saying this. So we've known that this could be coming since last night when he went off script and basically said we're terrible. He's been going through the motions and has not really invested himself with the Rockets this year. John Wall and Boogie Cousins have come out to question how much he wants to actually even pretend to be there at this point. So it looks like they are trading him to the Brooklyn Nets. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I am not Shams Charania on Twitter, but I definitely had the inside track on this last night when I put out there, quite simply, that before our show tonight for NBA TV and before TNT Thursday, that I thought James Harden was going to get traded. As soon as he made those comments last night, it was obvious there were two teams in the running. It was going to be the Philadelphia 76ers or the Brooklyn Nets. And to be quite honest, I'm surprised. I don't know who's in this package, as this is breaking news, so maybe you can enlighten me on that. But I thought it would be the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they've come to a point where it's not really working out well for them with Ben Simmons. They have other pieces that seem to fit. With the Nets, they already have this circus with Kyrie Irving. And now I guess you're adding James Harden to the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant situation, which just seems like a lot of scores and a lot of drama.
So I'll give you what I got here, Chris. This is from Shams' account, his follow-up. Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen are being moved. And the next little line is just a quick little throwaway. Could be another team or two involved. Okay, well, that's enter your mystery team going there. But Allen just won that starting job, and Brooklyn is dynamic. You know, what are your thoughts there? Anything in the aftermath of that?
A tremendous amount of thoughts. I think that's a terrible trade for the Brooklyn Nets, simply because the fro is always in our top 10 countdowns that we do for the NBA because he's, you know, when I look at the Wizards' win against the Nets, it's because Jared Allen wasn't in the game at the end of the game, quite simply. He's that much of a difference maker. They don't have interior defense. The only reason they lose to teams like the Wizards is because they can't defend. Now you're bringing James Harden and losing your best defender. Caris LeVert plays at an all-star level and is hugely complimentary to John Wall. So the person that benefits most from this is John Wall, and I'm shedding a tear. Having been a huge fan of John Wall his entire time in Washington, holy cow. He is getting an all-star caliber guard. Christian Wood is playing at an all-star level. He's getting one of the best defensive centers in the NBA, and he looks healthy. I'm happy for John Wall when I hear this news. That's
Danny,
what I hear.
I may have missed Danny saying this because I heard him mention the players. Did you even mention the picks? So this
no,
is from
so
Shams.
Now the full deal.
How,
here it is.
How about
read this,
this,
Grant.
The Nets are trading for all NBA star James Harden and sending 4 first-round picks and 4 draft swaps to the Rockets. Chris LeVert, Jared Allen also being moved.
Yeah, the Rockets are trying to build their future and get to that point. So, you know, with these draft picks, to me, that you, we're always looking into the future, and I'm trying to keep up with happening today and tomorrow, right? And who's competitive. And I look at the Rockets to get into a rebuild where you can put a team on the floor that should be competitive this year. I mean, I think it's a home run. See, James Harden became a nightmare. I mean, he's out of shape. He had 4 consecutive games in which he scored 20 or less. You could say he's disinterested. But I look at the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm just like, I don't see it right now. You have to play defense at some point. You can outscore your opponents all you want to. But again, I point to that loss to the Wizards. That's indicative of what's going to happen now with the Nets over and over again. They have 0 interior defense. They're adding another guy who can score when they already have 2 guys who can give you 40 points in a game. I think they have to have another move on the horizon to round out this team. And I think it's a win for the Rockets, considering the situation.
Chris, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
You got it, man. Let's talk some Washington football team. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, covers that team, so it's a good thing he's going to talk about that team right now. The GM search, what's this guy going to do, Michael? That's the most important thing to me in all of this. What's this guy's job going to be? It's not like a GM in most places where he generally manages. This guy's going to kind of report to Rivera?
Yeah, Ron Rivera will remain in charge of the whole operation. He'll hand off the scouting of players, the deciding who you want, the draft picks, the trades, the acquiring and free agency. Certainly a lot of personnel moves happen every year on an NFL team. He'll oversee that, but make no mistake, anything big, so quarterbacks, first-round draft picks, things of that nature, anything big is still going to be a Ron Rivera decision. There's no doubt about that.
Any thought that they wouldn't lock up Scherf to whatever it costs now just because the price point's so high and he's a guard?
You know, him being all pro is probably a negative for the team as they negotiate the contract. Great for him, of course. Again, this is going to be an expensive deal. And at a certain point, you say you can't afford everybody. I think he's probably a guy you make room for. Jonathan Allen coming due as well. I think Jonathan Allen's probably a guy you make room for. But you look at that defensive line, you know, are you going to be able to sustain 4 very highly paid players in the long term? I think you got to make room for Deron Payne. He was excellent all season. You know, Chase Young, of course, is a guy who's going to be here forever. And everybody loves Montez Sweat, so that's all of them now. You got to make tough decisions at a certain point, but I think Scherf is a guy you're going to cut the check to keep him around.
Who plays the most games at quarterback of the guys that are currently in the building next year for this team?
Your favorite on the odds would be Kyle Allen, so I'd say Taylor Heinicke gets the first bite at the apple. I just don't trust him and his health, and that's no knock against, you know, everything he's accomplished and what he accomplished in that playoff game. Look, he's played in the NFL 3 times. He's gotten hurt 3 times. He didn't play against D1 college competition. It's not unfair to point those things out. When he plays football, he gets hurt. You know, that's just the way some people are. It happens. I think he'll get the first crack at it, but my sense would be, he's not a guy who's built to withstand 16 NFL games. They seem to love Kyle Allen. He'd probably be next, but I continue to think the guy who gets the most snaps is not on this team's roster.
Michael, thank you, pal.
You bet.
How about that Beltway Blitz with the breaking NBA news while we were talking NBA TV's Chris Miles? Speaking of which, and we were going to get into the NFL and the playoffs coming up in just a few minutes, but I actually want to stay with this Harden trade, one of the biggest names in sports. And also, it's just been a crazy 24 hours here. And we've got the audio from his comments last night. Then you had John Wall's comments kind of, as the kids would say, clapping back at him. You've got Boogie Cousins defending John Wall today. It seemed like a locker room in turmoil, and they weren't going to be able to play another game together, so they've moved James Harden now. A lot of pieces to pick up here. And, oh, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets now have Kyrie Irving, who doesn't seem to want to play basketball, and James Harden, who at his last stop didn't want to play basketball. There's a lot to discuss, so we'll peel back some layers of this onion next on Grant and Danny. G&D on the Fan, James Harden has a new home. The 8-time All-Star and three-time scoring champion, goes to Brooklyn to play with Kevin Durant, his old teammate from Oklahoma City, with the Thunder. And now they'll team up for the Nets, possibly with Kyrie Irving, although I don't know if he's ever coming back or if he plans on playing basketball again. He's just making $30-plus million to not do anything right now and has decided that basketball's not much of a priority at this moment. As far as Harden goes, he was the biggest headache in Houston. He wanted out. He wasn't investing himself. He didn't show up on time for camp. He didn't show up in shape, reportedly. He is going through the motions. He has infuriated his teammates. Starting last night, he started calling those teammates out. We'll play some of the audio in a moment. But it was clear that this marriage had to end sooner than later, and it ended tonight with the Rockets trading James Harden to Brooklyn. I can't believe everything they got back. But here's what's crazy is that after getting their package back, they turned around and made a deal where they traded one of the pieces, Caris LeVert, to Indiana to get Victor Oladipo. So coming out of this, John Wall's going to have a rim protector at the five, a stretch player at four, the scoring two guard, and a team with more draft capital, just about anybody in the NBA, as they're getting four first-round picks out of this deal. Pretty crazy how all this worked out for Houston today as they move on in this blockbuster. I guess it's the NBA trade deadline, and I didn't know it, because this is all a lot to take in a span of 20 minutes.
Well, you touched on it. All the dramatic center around Brooklyn right now, right, where Kyrie Irving. I don't know what he's doing, and I don't think they do either, by the way. This is just very interesting what's happening. He's not playing basketball. I know that. So I think he's being paid to play basketball, and maybe there's some debate about what he's going to end up getting paid, but he's not playing. He's decided to do something else. So who knows when you can kind of corral him to bring him back into the fold. But James Harden pouted his way out of Houston. You said it. Out of shape. Basically quit trying. I mean, there are a couple gifs rolling around of him basically like a frustrated dude in a pickup game on a Saturday morning who hadn't made any shots and gets ticked off and just throws the ball to somebody else and goes and stands in the corner to let this guy go one-on-one. That's what it looks like. This is from an MVP caliber player, a center of the franchise who has been befuddled and beguiled in the playoffs a number of times and hasn't come through, quite frankly, despite maybe being the better team on a couple different occasions. It's fascinating how this all went down. But from Houston's perspective, they get Oladipo, you mentioned, who didn't win a lot of fans over in Indiana last year, kind of with what happened around the playoffs with him being hurt. And some folks were a little bit upset with him, and there was some idea that he might be on the move. So kudos to Houston for getting him, a great bounce-back candidate there. All the picks in the world. Now, if you're Houston, you got this kid Christian Wood, GP. If you haven't seen him play, he is delightful to watch. He's actually leading the Houston Rockets in scoring. 6'10", pogo stick, runs the court. He could be your power forward. Jared Allen could play center. That's the most athletic 4-5 combination in the history of mankind. Just a couple of dudes that can run and jump, and you're not going to get down and bruise with those guys, but that's not the NBA at this point. They are going to be an awful lot of fun with John Wall, and it's going to be fun to watch him kind of carry that team. I don't know what their ceiling is now, honestly, but I do know that there are going to be a lot of alley-oops thrown. I know a lot of guys are going to catch some oops from Wall off some pick-and-roll type activity. Harden gets his way to Brooklyn. I don't know what they're going to ultimately be. It's not like they're playing with three basketballs. There's one. You're going to have
much more scoring did they need, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know.
James Harden is that. He's, I don't want to say he's a one-trick pony, but he's kind of close to a one-trick pony. It's not like they needed a lot more scoring. So maybe that makes you better, but at what cost? I hate that deal for Brooklyn. I really do. I also am just out on Harden. I think he is a locker room ruiner at this point. That has been the case now and certainly was in Houston. I mean, you got Wall and Cousins coming out against him in the last 24 hours basically saying, yeah, I don't really agree with what he's saying publicly, and oh, by the way, he's our biggest problem. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what they said. But the winner in all of this, honestly, I tweeted 1 hour ago before all this broke, just 1 hour ago. Poor John Wall is in the middle of an S storm in Houston. I feel bad for the guy. He worked so hard to get back, only to find himself in the middle of the James Harden soap opera. But he's the winner now. I mean, he comes out of this, it's his team. He's running the locker room. It's his show with his buddy Boogie Cousins. You get Oladipo coming over to play the two. As you mentioned, their front court is very capable of presenting a lot of problems. And I don't think they're going to win this year, win anything meaningful. But they now have the draft capital and some space, some opportunity maybe, to let their hair down a little bit and become something in the next couple years rather than just being saddled with James Harden. What I will say about the NBA, and this does happen in other sports, but it's just more prevalent in the NBA than anywhere else, is it's not even just about player power. Okay, player power can be a good thing. I like when players have influence over where they can end up to an extent. I think that when players hold out and most of the media gets angry, I don't, because I understand what they're going through. I get that they can be cut tomorrow and the team doesn't have to apologize and it should go both ways, right? Having said that, whatever this Harden thing is, the optics of this make the NBA tough for the casual fan a lot of the time. The Kyrie Irving thing right now is an embarrassment for the league as far as I'm concerned. And I will commend Kyrie Irving because I think he's trying to do some meaningful things in the community and enact some change and trying to get
involved. Shouldn't be mutually exclusive. Yeah.
It fixed the world, and everyone will dismiss me and say, yeah, basketball's not important. You know who's made a hell of an impact in the world is LeBron James. You know who's done a lot of great things for his community and my community and your community and society? LeBron James. You know who's still playing basketball somehow? LeBron James. You know who shows up to work every day and puts together a triple-double? LeBron James. You can walk and chew gum. There's a lot of people in our society who are doing a lot of good, and they still go to work, and they don't get paid millions of dollars to do it. So I have no idea what Kyrie Irving's doing. I couldn't support him any less as an NBA player, okay? He is on – I'm not – he's not Antonio Brown where he's, like, in trouble off the field constantly and, like, I can't stand the guy. He's just a goofball that I would never want on my team. Great player, by the way. Amazing player.
Absolutely.
Not my problem. He could be someone else's problem. James Harden's a different kind of situation, but both of these guys are now in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, you have one guy who's got a clown nose and another guy who's got clown shoes, and poor Kevin Durant just wants to play basketball and put up points despite – tearing his Achilles, but the music when he comes out to warm up is, and they're like coming out of the car.
So let me update real quick. I was trying to get all these details straight, taking notes. So Jared Allen will not be going to Houston. He's going to the Cavs. That's their end of this thing. They're involved in it. So it's a 4-team trade. So to keep track of it, to summarize it. Cleveland Cavaliers get Jared Allen and Torian Prince. Remember, started his career in Atlanta, went to Baylor, pretty good small forward, you know, run of the mill, though. They make a lot of that guy. Pacers end up with Caris LeVert and a second rounder. That's their end of it as they traded away Victor Oladipo. Nets get James Harden. The Rockets haul Oladipo, Dante X, probably backup point guard, a guy named Kurux, who I don't know anything about. 3 Brooklyn first rounders, Milwaukee's first rounder, and 4 Brooklyn first round swaps.
And I know the first rounders are like candy. Like, for the most part, that's an overrated thing, and it just sounds good. But still, I mean, think about what was going on for the Rockets last night.
Right.
Like, they got blown out again by
chaos.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
They were cannon fodder for the Lakers. So let's play this audio. This is, for people that weren't tracking this last night, this was Harden after the game. And when I saw this on TV last night, I thought, well, that guy's getting traded. Now, I didn't think it would be this afternoon while we're on the air necessarily. But you can't say stuff like this and stay there. It's one thing when you don't show up for work. It's another thing when everything behind the scenes is you complaining and whining and wanting out. It's another when you're not really trying that hard and everyone can see it. But then when you actually say something like this, it's kind of the bomb you throw in to detonate everything. This was Harden postgame.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. They just, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
I don't think can be fixed. And then he walked off. By the way, you haven't done everything that you can because you didn't show up for work at the beginning of camp.
You're out of shape.
You're not in shape, so you didn't
if you
do
mean
that.
In the past, yeah, you had great years here. You couldn't get over the hump. Okay, maybe that's what he's referencing, yeah, but not this year.
Before this offseason.
You didn't jog enough, sir. I know that feeling, by the way. I don't jog enough either.
I know it when I see it. There's a lot you haven't done this year. But there he's calling out his teammates. He's talking about chemistry. He's talking about talent. I mean, can you imagine that? Just at a press conference saying your team, your supporting cast is not talented enough?
Yeah.
So John Wall, who is a professional, which Harden has not been acting like one, and who's an adult, which Harden has not been acting like one, steps up to the Zoom call. I can't say the podium, whatever they're doing now in Houston for their Zooms. And the first of these cuts, you know, he was asked about Harden's comments, which he had heard or were read back to him. Here's what he had to say about them.
John, James said he didn't think the chemistry and talent-wise, it was clear. He didn't think it can be fixed. Do you think it can be fixed? And can it be fixed if he doesn't think it can be?
He's tied into his own opinion. I mean, I can't know what he thinks about the team or what we feel like we are. I know how much hard work these guys have put into this training camp and going through preseason to work hard to try to get better every day. I know how much work I have put into it the last 2 years to get back and compete at a high level. And all I can control is what I think I can do as a leader and as a basketball player, and that's go out there and give 110% effort.
Defending his teammates. That's what a leader does. You know, saying what needs to be said. But this was actually the better cut about him and James Harden. We're all talking about his partnership and being candid. When asked about it, not just covering for the guy and saying, oh, I love playing with James. I mean, listen to what he had to say here. He was clearly fed up.
John, like you mentioned, it's only been 9 games. There's a lot of basketball to be played. But for right now, how do you assess the partnership between you and James on the court, being able to play off of each other?
I think it's been a little rocky. Can't lie about that. I mean, I don't think it's been the best it could be, to be honest. That's all I really can say.
That's Wall last night. Hadn't been that great. That's
his voice
really
went so high. I never heard John Wall make that sound in my life. I've followed him since he out of North Carolina, dunking on people, his mixtape. I've heard him talk 1,000 times, dozens and dozens of interviews. I've never heard him make that sound before. doing like a pterodactyl descending on its victim.
I just love him talking about how much work those guys put in camp and how hard they're all working. And he referenced at one point yesterday, and I don't have it in front of me, but something along the lines of, you know, basically we need everyone to buy in, and not everybody is buying in. And you know the situation is really off the rails when it was DeMarcus Cousins who was kind of speaking today in a way where everyone
said, adult.
Yeah, DeMarcus has a point. I mean, he was asked about this fiasco, and he said today, look, I just came here to play with John Wall, to be completely honest with you. I'm here because of John Wall. And he took James Harden to task from when he showed up, basically. And he's not afraid. He's not backing down from that guy. Here's what DeMarcus, I'll read the quote from Sam Amick. He said, my interest to play with John, it was always to play with John Wall, to be brutally honest. The Harden disrespect started way before, meaning last night's comments. This isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden started last night. It's completely unfair to the rest of the guys in this locker room. 1,000% true. Now, whether or not DeMarcus Cousins is the perfect messenger, I don't know, and I really don't care, because I'm talking about this specific incident, this specific case in Houston right now. And forget me, forget a Rockets fan, forget an NBA fan, whatever, and like the disrespect to the product or what have you. That's not that relevant. But John Wall's coming back from his injury, putting in all that time, and it is disrespect. And I'm not just talking about questioning the talent and questioning the chemistry. The effort you're putting in, the amount of commitment you're showing or not. You know, and Cousins basically just called him out and said, it's been disrespectful since way before last night. I love that.
Yeah, 100%. You're compensated. There's a very simple little axiom, little sentence we should all live by. Be a professional. Be a professional. You are being paid to do something. Be a professional. Part of your profession means being in shape. Be a professional. Part of being a professional means doing everything you can do to help the team win when you're on the basketball court. Be a professional. James Harden failed at being professional. And he got what he wanted, too, by the way. Let that be a lesson, kids. If something bad happens, if there's any adversity, quit and pout until you get what you want. Back to you, Grant.
Does James Harden have a following, a big fan base right now? At all? Like, are there Harden backers?
Right?
I don't know, but the way he's acted and played, by the way, he hadn't even scored 20 points a game, which is just, I think he's not trying that hard. I
mean,
otherwise, you
team,
could get out of, roll out of bed and score 20 points in today's NBA. But I don't know. The NBA, man, there's always something like this.
That has nothing to do with basketball. I like when one team plays another team, we talk about the game. Even stories during NBA seasons about who's going to play somewhere later. Has nothing to do, you know what I mean? The story should be, hey, they're getting through. They're figuring out how to overcome COVID. And John Wall and James Harden are running together. And this Houston team hasn't won yet, but they will. Look at Christian Wood. He's a stud. You know, what's going on with the Nuggets and the Nets? If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant can share the basketball enough, they play faster. They'll both get their looks. Instead, it's dramatics. That's the story of the league right now is dramatics. And I don't think it's good.
The Washington football team has been eliminated. Who are you going to root for now to win the Super Bowl? Let's get into that next.
Guys, Danny Ruye here. Hindsight is 2020, all right? It is. 2020 was a terrible year. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that, right? There's a lot we couldn't control. Pandemic stuff, tanked economy, job losses, the whole nine yards, right? So what can we control? How about what we do for a living? Your job? No. How about your career? That's right. Don't look back with 2020 hindsight and still have that same dead-end 2020 job. Do what so many have done. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take that free career evaluation. Doesn't matter if you have no IT experience. It doesn't. Or education. No problem. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. You, I'm talking about you, could start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, all from the comfort and safety of your own home. Live online classes meet just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your brand new career. And that's what it is. It's your new career. It's more than just a school. My Computer Career actually helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers who hire their students. As I said, it's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Take that free career evaluation today and let them know that Danny Ruye from The Fan sent you.
All the ground you need to know about on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour. A lot going on today in sports. Washington's been eliminated from the NFL playoffs. The Bucs and Tom Brady handled that in the wild card round. So as we look now at the Elite Eight left in the National Football League, divisional play this weekend, who do you pull for? Most of you listening are fans of the Washington football team. You can call us at 800-636-1067 to answer that question. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. We'll try to squeeze in a couple of the responses this segment. But Danny, just running through it really quick in terms of likability. Baltimore, because they have one of the most electric players in league history, Lamar Jackson, is going to get a lot of fanfare. The Bills, because they're an upstart that has never really won in the playoffs anything meaningful. And you go back to the four Super Bowl losses in a row, the little engine that everyone wanted to but hasn't. I think they're a fun story. The Browns are in the exact same boat. I mean, the Browns are the lovable loser, and they're the David taking on some Goliaths. The Chiefs, because they have the best coach maybe in Reed and the best quarterback in Mahomes. Trying to see a team go back-to-back I think would be a nice storyline. I could see that answer. For the Saints, you want Breeze to win another one. He's got a Super Bowl. Maybe you want him to have a second Super Bowl. It's probably his last ride as a Hall of Famer. And if you're pulling for the Bucs, I would say you must be a Brady fan. Maybe you're anti-Belichick, or you want the Patriots for whatever reason to feel like they made a mistake. I'm not sure what the other arguments would be for Tampa Bay. And then going back to the Rams and the Packers, you know, in L.A. you got Sean McVay, who was close and didn't get there. Green Bay, it could be a Rodgers thing where he's only got the one title to show for, one of the great careers ever. Anything I'm missing as to reasons that someone might pick one of these teams?
I think you covered it. I think that's a pretty good summation. I mean, for me, my priorities are always, obviously, Washington. And then once they're eliminated, usually in October, but once they're done, it's rooted against the NFC East. That's all taken care of. That's all done here.
You don't have to worry about that this year.
Yeah, I am just free and clear, just breathing easy, just having fun watching football. So for me, it's about narratives. It's about stories. And it's about arguments that I've had. It's about, Twitterati and old guard and various things that I think are incorrect. And so there are people out there right now, this minute, who think Eli Manning is better than somebody else because he's got two Super Bowls. His team won two Super Bowls, and he happened to be the quarterback of those teams. But that sort of stuff. I want Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees to get another one because they don't have many windows left. They don't have many opportunities left. Brees especially, with how banged up he's been each of the last couple seasons. So I'm rooting for one of these two great Hall of Fame, first ballot, first ring, all-time excellent, unbelievable superstars who don't get enough credit because their teams haven't won as many Super Bowls, I think through no fault of their own, by the way, to end up breaking through and winning one of those things. And that's how I'm kind of prioritizing this.
I don't think there's anything that would make me upset this year, honestly, which is a great place to be with eight teams left. Like, there's no team that I'm going to be annoyed if they win. If I had to pick teams, if I'm ranking them like 1 to 8 at the bottom, I would probably put the Bucs dead last because, they eliminated Washington. You know, B, not that I root against Tom Brady. Early on in his career, I certainly did as a Peyton Manning guy. And I've come to peace with the fact that, you know, people are going to see it however they see it, if they're defining this based on championships and what have you. I just think he's done it. He's been there. I've seen it enough. It'd be a cool story if he did it with another team. But I guess if I had to, I would put him down at the bottom, or maybe the Ravens down at the bottom, just because then you have to deal with a lot of Ravens fans in this area that can be very loud and very annoying. But I like that coach, John Harbaugh, a lot. I love everything about the way their organization kind of conducts itself and puts teams together from DaCosta on down. So that's just if I have to rank them like 1 to 8. But I would – there's nothing I'm rooting against. Normally there's a heel, there's a villain, there's a team that would really annoy me if they won it. I don't have that this year. I guess off the top of my head, I love what you're saying about the Packers or the Saints. I would add the Rams to that because I'm a big McVay guy. Just knowing him personally, I would love to see him win a title. LaFleur, same thing for me. I think I'm going to go with Green Bay overall. If I could just touch a button and somebody wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to take the Packers. A, LaFleur. B, Rodgers getting his second. And then the other part of this is, and you said this, some of it's about like either narratives or fights you get into or things that just annoy you on social media. The disdain of the snarky, like smartest people in the room on Twitter for the Packers this offseason was just so much to deal with for me. They didn't have a draft that people liked as an example. They kind of prioritized 2 or 3 years from now rather than, or not even, maybe 2 years from now rather than this offseason. And it doesn't change that maybe they should have gone and gotten a wide receiver. But if they were to win a Super Bowl, and this is how those people on Twitter that are so snarky are, they'll say, well, they still should have done it, and they could have been even better. And they'll never really admit that they were wrong. But like, I thought the Packers were going to take a step back this year.
I was sure of that, and I was dead wrong.
Yeah, I think most of us thought that. But there are a lot of people who basically said they set themselves up to fall on their face and to fail, and there goes the end of their relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And I think it'd be cool to just be able to hoist the Lombardi Trophy if you're Matt LaFleur in that front office and tell everyone to kick rocks at the end of the season. I think that would be good for them.
It'd be pretty good. Yeah, I love that one. I mean, to me, it's the – I want to give no airtime and no fodder to the people that say, you know, for example, yeah, and you could think Tom Brady is the greatest ever. That's not the craziest thing ever. I mean, just you look at what he did in his age 43 season with 40 touchdowns. We just take this for granted how excellent he's been.
It's not getting harder to make that argument.
Yeah, right. So when but they go, he has the most Super Bowls, therefore he's the best ever. And I go, okay, well, that means anybody that's got 6 is better than someone with 5, which means 5 is better than 4, 3 is better than 2. Now Eli Manning's better than Dan Marino. Now Joe Flacco is better than Fran Tarkington. Or you could go through the list. And those things are asinine. It's so stupid. It's the ultimate team game. Yes, quarterbacks are heavily involved, but they still don't even play half the snaps when you add in special teams. So I need those kinds of things to settle down. I want less ammunition for any of those championship-only type argument people. And I want true appreciation for the absolute unparalleled greatness of guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
Packers 1, Rams 2 for me. People always say, are you still a fan? You know, are you a huge fan of the Washington football team? And my answer is I grew up loving and caring about DC sports and nothing else. Of course, I still want them to win. I'm happier when they win, and I'm more sad when they lose. But when you cover a team, when you get into the media, and what we do now talking on the air as radio hosts is not what I'm talking about. Like, if I had never been on a beat or been in locker rooms or covered, then I don't think my fandom would change that much. But because I have done that for many years before this gig, your fandom changes a little bit. But what I always say is you root for people. Like, for me, I get to know people, and there's people that are really, really good that you want to see thrive and do well, and there's people that don't conduct themselves the same way, and you cover them fairly and honestly. But, you know, they're just people you want to see thrive, and LaFleur and McVay are two of those guys. So those are my top two, the Rams and the Packers, the winner of that game as they go on. But having said that, if you take that out of the equation, Bills and Browns, dude. Bills and Browns. How long has it been for those fan bases?
It's been pretty long.
To even just have a weekend like this one. Well, I mean, what if there was a parade? I guess they don't get to do that because of COVID, which would be a shame. But in Buffalo or Cleveland for those two teams, whenever you're allowed to do that, it would just be cool to see. But the great thing is that there aren't really bad options this time around, which is good. It's fun for the NFL and fun for us. 5 and 5 is next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.